I wonder if I'm going to ask my pharmacist, because I used to babysitting,
There you
if
go.
Viagra is covered by
Oh,
insurance.
I'm about to look into that, because if it is, I'm telling you right now, I'm about to go wear a whole different kind of hat and go up to Washington, D.C. and start protesting. I'm about to do it.
What happens when you combine a design-loving, big-city-living, black clothes-wearing art history major with a culinary-teaching, small-town-living, pink toenail painting, home ec major? We'll stir in two husbands, six grown kids, pop it in the oven for 40-plus years of friendship and foolishness, and you get a big old batch of designer cornbread.
Welcome to episode 125, Designer Cornbread. Everybody, we're just chatting. We're just here on this lovely Monday, the last Monday in February.
This is the last Monday in
is it?
February. Yes,
Okay.
it is.
Okay. So this is it,
Yes, it
guys.
is.
This is the final hurrah.
Yeehaw! Yeah, we are driving into March here.
We are. So Joni was saying the fire department came to do another training at her school today. Did they bring the Annie dolls? Do they do all that?
They did, but they've changed things up. Now you don't do any rescue breathing. So
what?
You don't breathe. They now have said that there's, as long as you're doing compressions. I know, remember, because on that lodge floor at camp, so we had to
well,
get
what if the
CPR
person's not
certified.
Breathing? They
They
need a
now,
couple of breaths,
well,
don't they?
so you wait for the EMS to get there. And they say with compressions, there's enough oxygen flowing through the body as
Because
you're
you're
doing that. And then EMS shows up and they've got that nice mask with the squeezy thing.
right. I
But
know
yeah,
the
they say
mask.
that there are so many diseases now that unless it's somebody like in your family,
Listen, if guys,
that.
this is an announcement from Holly. If I'm not breathing laying on the ground, you can give me
I'm not putting my mouth on
Joni,
you.
you need to give me rescue breathing. Please don't be like, now, unless you know you got something. If you
I don't
know
know
you
where
got
you've been,
something,
Ollie. I don't know where
I'm
you've been.
fine. You know exactly where I've been. Same place as you've been.
That's
My point
scary.
is, if the person is dying on the ground and can't breathe, the EMS is not going to be there for a little bit. You might want to give them a breath. But at the school where you are, I guess it makes sense. Like, they'll be there quick. But okay. All right.
Well,
okay.
that's overall. I think that's overall CPR now.
Well, I'm going to have to disagree with that. I'm going to talk to my friend, fireman paramedic
ask.
Johnny Johnson.
Yeah, you ask that and get back with me.
Because I'm really disturbed now. How can they
As you
say
should
you
be.
just can't give see you can't give respiratory breathing if someone's not breathing and you're doing compressions for more than like 5 minutes? I mean, a couple of minutes if they're not there, dude.
They go. No.
Okay. Well,
that is the new, I mean, according to my fireman. But
all right. Well,
you argued with my fireman last week. I don't know what it
did
was.
I? What did I?
Yes.
I
I don't
remember.
remember something. I don't know. You knew more than
I'm
that. Oh,
sorry, guys, but what's
about
the point of calling the fire department if you're not going to get see if you're not going to get rescue breathing by a fireman?
Oh,
All right,
my
go ahead.
goodness.
What were
So,
you saying?
no, sorry, I'm choking here.
Sorry.
It was about the overflow, the toxic ponds overflowing into the river.
Oh,
And
yeah. Well, I didn't argue with your firefighters. I just was like, well, maybe I did. My point was, if this is going to be the worst ecological
ecological disaster
of the history of the South, that perhaps we shouldn't have tanks that could overflow when it floods.
They
That was my
have
only
since
question.
corrected that. No, it has now been corrected.
Okay, good.
It just was never, that was never a, it was never going to happen.
There was never a possibility. But now we know all things are possible.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So anyway, I did have a new experience. Do you want to hear my new experience?
I do want to hear
Wasn't
your new
very new,
experience.
but so Ron had a business trip in Nashville and like Thursday night and I was home alone.
When is
And
that,
I
has that
realized
ever even happened?
not since I've been married.
Are you
now,
kidding me,
I'm not
Joni?
kidding. I mean, not that Ron's not been here, but
Right.
there has always been a boy in my house.
Somebody has always been home.
Somebody's always been home because,
Oh.
I really think since I've been married, because Ron and I were married for 9 months, and then I was pregnant for the next 9 months.
Right.
So, within 18 months, it was just Ron and me. But then since then, there has always been a boy in my house.
Right,
And
another living being.
And I don't think Ron has ever been gone at the same time that the boys have been gone.
I think you're probably right.
So
Oh my
it was a
goodness.
very odd, it
So,
was oddly quiet.
did you hear all the weird noises in your house that you didn't know you
Well,
need
kind
you?
of, but God did send me a little reprieve in that Boogie called and I had a nice long conversation.
Okay, good,
And
good.
yeah, so that was good.
That is weird though when you're by your when you're by yourself. I
It
think I
was
had one. I've only had maybe I've had plenty with by myself, but only maybe once, and I don't remember what the circumstance was. Now I'm trying to think about it. Where the dog wasn't here.
Oh yeah, now I
Nobody.
did have now I did have the
And
dog.
that was even more like, there's nobody else breathing in this house. Like there's nobody else alive in here
So,
with.
but let me tell you part of the conversation that Dean Dr. Brilliant had to say to me. He mocked me. He made fun of me, not because I was alone. And I told him, I said, it's just odd. I'm not a weenie. I mean,
No,
I'm
it's just
fine.
weird. Yeah, it's just weird. Yeah.
It's a new sensation.
Yep.
But then I started talking about factors and that I did not cook anymore or
Right.
very often. And he was in shock. He shamed me.
He
He
shamed you for the
shamed
factors?
me for the
Why?
factors.
Why would he do
Well,
that?
because I have TV dinners. And he said, and do you have tables, little TV
Okay,
tables
yeah,
that you eat in
okay.
front of the TV too? And I went, well, maybe. Maybe I do. And he made fun of me.
Yeah, and that does that. Speaking of that, the other night, Tim and I sat down with our food and our little coffee table in front of our TV, in front of the fire, in our two matching blue chairs. And he goes, and he was like, well, hey, Edith. And I
No,
was like, hey, Archie.
seriously.
He's like, we're the Bunkers. I'm like, oh gosh. So we kind of had that little moment
We are
ourselves. Like, are
here.
we
I
turning into
know.
the Bunkers, Edith and Archie Bunker? And I said, no, honey. I said, no,
Look,
maybe.
I slaved away for you over Thanksgiving weekend. Don't mock me because I cook all day at school and don't
From
want to do it when I get
the man
home.
who only has himself to cook for.
Right,
And
exactly.
we're
And
just
clean.
we're
I'll be
done.
honest with you, it's not necessarily the cooking, it's the cleaning up after. It's just all,
It's the
I don't
grocery
know how.
shopping. It's the getting it in the house and getting
Yeah.
it figured out. My
For
brain has
two
just
people.
gone dead. I'm dead to it.
So,
That
anyway.
is hilarious. How dare he make fun of you? From the man who doesn't even have mayonnaise in his house, that we had to give him a little thing of Duke's mayonnaise
I know, right?
Christmas because he didn't have any. Okay. We're done. Maybe, maybe
Anyway, I
not.
had a few choice words to say to him too, so
I'm
it all
sure you
evened
did.
out.
Okay. That's nice. Well,
So there was that.
I'm glad he was
Wait,
there for you.
I brought my calendar in so I could see what, if there was anything. No, oh, we were out of school for 3 days because of ice.
Oh, right.
So I cleaned closets and, all that
That's
wonderful.
good. That's always good. Did you find anything good in those closets?
No, I threw away a bunch of Ron's clothes.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Yeah.
I got to his stuff. So, anyway, that was, yeah. No, I don't really have
Excellent.
anything.
Excellent. Well, we had a really, really fun weekend because Thatcher's home and his good friends Luke and Willow came too. They all wanted a St. Louis weekend with, as they call us, their camp counselors. Willow's like, oh, it's so cozy. She's like, I need a weekend with you guys are our camp count our counselors. And I'm like, okay, well, sure. Only now we can drink cocktails together. So this is it's great. We were not their camp counselors originally. I think I misled you. But anyway, but it was really a great weekend because it was like we hadn't seen them for a while, Luke and Willow. And Willow actually lives up in Brooklyn with Thatch. So they're just, remained such good friends and get to see each other and all that kind of stuff. So,
She doesn't live with that. She lives
no,
in
I'm
Brooklyn,
sorry.
where
I'm
Thatch
sorry.
lives.
Again, I'm misleading everyone. Yes, Brooklyn is a big place, but they live about four train stops away. But anyway, she's a delight. And Luke is a one. Thatcher lived with him for a couple years at Belmont in school. So they've just, you know, been very good friends. So it was very good to see them. And it was just fun. They did some stuff and then we did some stuff together. And it was like I was telling Willow, because she was like, thank you guys so much. And I said, this has been great, because it's like it's like Tim and I had a little mini vacation. We had a little like staycation of our own, because, you know, you have company and you want to spend time with them, but also they're easy company because they're grown people. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
right. Yeah.
You know, you get the rooms ready and you kind of, but you know, they have a car that, you know, they can do, so you're not really, and we went out a bunch, you know, and they wanted to go a bunch of different places but it just was almost like a little staycation. Like Tim and I went to on Friday. So they came in Thursday night, and then Friday, I think they ended up at the City Museum. Willow had not been.
Oh, fun. Oh, y'all, the City Museum in St. Louis. If you have not been to the City Museum, and especially if you have kids, but it doesn't
matter
whether you have them or not.
Yeah.
It is a ball. We took Hudson and John Garrett when they were five.
They were five, but that's about the youngest I would go, because it is not like any place you've been, and there's cracks and crevices and holes and exploration, and the kid will go down it and you don't have any idea where that kid's going to come up.
We have talked about this probably a year or two ago. About City Museum, but we took these little twerps to the City Museum, and when she said there are holes they can go down, I mean, it's like gopher holes. Is that what is that actually? It's like an underground.
There's different sections of this museum. It's called the City Museum, and it was created by this incredibly amazing creative person, and a good part of it is kind of a I'd just say like a really cool playground. Like you're crawling around on stuff and it's like roots, like you're underground and there's a whole cave section and it's like a whole fantasy. It's very hard to explain. They were trying to explain it to Willow and they're like, mosaics and crazy and
but
slides.
But these are like, they're
it's a
like
hole. It's a
underground
tunnel.
And I'm going to say, I mean, it's like gopher holes that, that kids can go down and all this.
Grown-ups
ours
can
are
too.
So little. Mm-hmm. Ours are so little that we didn't want to send them by themselves. So Holly so graciously said, Jones, I'm too big for that. You got to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I said, climbed.
I'm actually what I told you, I did make you do it. I 100% was like, and go. I've already done those and I've already done them with my other kids, but this was the time of when I was like claustrophobic. I could not go in those holes. So I was like, Joni.
Yeah. Jones got to go do all the gopher hole. I climbed all over that gopher hole, and then they wanted to go up the 10-foot slide or 10-story slide.
Mm-hmm.
And then we climbed all the steps and then we got up there and they didn't want to go down. So here we go back down. That was,
you just shove them down.
I know that's what I should have done. It's like, too bad.
But anyway, all of that is to say it's a fantastic place. And Luke had been before. Thatch had taken him before. But so they were like, Willow, you've got to see this. So they went and did that. And we decided to not join them in that endeavor. And so we just had a really leisurely day. And then Tim and I headed to the art museum together, just the two of us, which we haven't done in a while. Yeah. It's been, and we haven't done much like that in a while. We're kind of been in a stage of just, you know, putting our heads down and doing a bunch of other stuff. So we headed to the art museum for a few hours in the afternoon, and it was still a really cold day and there just weren't too many people there, but it's a beautiful building. If you have ever, again, in St. Louis, it's a kind of a Beaux-Arts. The part of it was built for the World's Fair in 1904, it's in the park where that took place. And it's a beautiful art collection. It's a very, very good art collection.
St. Louis just has, I highly recommend it for vacations or anything. Mm-hmm. They have such just wonderful things to do, especially with kids. And a lot of it is free.
A lot. The art museum is free. You can park on the street.
The zoo is free.
You can park in the parking lot and pay a little bit at the zoo, or you can park on the street. The art museum is free except for like the Sorry, this microphone is really driving me crazy. Except for like the special exhibits and things. But yeah, you're right. And that's actually all right there in Forest Park. But it's a really neat museum. And I love a good...
Yeah, and you know, even the arch. The arch has a museum in the bottom of it. And then you go up in the little cart that takes you to the top.
Mm-hmm. And, you can do that or not. You don't have to. You can just do the, you know, either one.
But yeah, it was, I'll be honest with you, fun. Leaning over, looking out the window, and it's kind of swaying a little bit. Mm-hmm. I was not a fan of that.
Well,
but it was cool. It's cool to be up there. It's cool to go up there. But
it is cool, and it has to sway. Because if it doesn't sway, you don't want it to not sway.
I know.
Because then it's too stiff, and then when things blow on it, it falls over. So you can feel it swaying up there. It's kind of wild.
Yes. But yeah, it was a victim. I was a victim to Chris Willis and John von Erbrugge in the midst of the swaying, leaning over the window kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So
they were probably telling you all kinds of horrible. Like, have you ever felt this before, Chris?
I've never. Kind of pushing. It was even the kind of pushing on you. You know, you're not going out, but it was. Yeah,
that doesn't surprise me in the least. Doesn't surprise me in the least. So that is what we did that Friday afternoon, and then we met them up somewhere. At a brewery. Luke is a big brewery. They love to thatch and they love to go to all kinds of different breweries and everywhere here in town and other places. So we met them there, and then we went to dinner, and then we went to another brewery, and then we met some other friends, and then we went home and left them. Finally, we were like, we're out, we're going home. But it was just a good time. And Saturday we did some stuff, and then we played games and stayed home and had a fire, and just it felt like a little mini vacation. And I was just like, yeah, it was really, really nice. So it was fun times. We are glad they got to come. So Thatch heads out today. I got to take him to the airport a little later. And then I'm all by myself again. Okay. It's fine.
Well, you can call somebody.
I can call somebody and get help. No, I'm fine. I'm fine by myself. It's great. So, yeah. Other than that, you know, it's just been big fun. You know, game of dodge the potholes here in St. Louis. That's just what we're playing. That's just what we're doing. I went out today on a quick errand, and I was like, dodging a couple of, almost got me in the potholes.
Well, I believe that we have crossed the threshold of winter, or we're done.
We're coming
into spring. No, we usually, there's been occasions that it has snowed in March, mm-hmm. but I don't see it. Looking ahead in the forecast, I don't see it coming.
Yeah, I don't know here yet, but
like
we'll see.
It is almost 70 degrees here today.
Mm-hmm.
The sun is shining. I mean, it is a gorgeous, gorgeous. My tulips are coming up.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, that is nice. It has gotten warmer here today, and that's wonderful. So we all feel happy and chipper. And like I said, I went out and did an errand. I mean, you know, it's crazy, crazy times. So anyway,
we live such exciting lives.
We really do. And the other exciting topic that I'm going to just make you all just, you know, sure you're thrilled to hear is just that I'm in a place right now where I'm like, again, this is nothing new, but why is medical insurance and healthcare stupid? I just need to know why it's stupid. I need to know. I just need to know why. It turned out okay with this. Like I ended up having some sleep apnea. So I got to get the little sucky breathing machine and join the rest of my friends and win that. Which that's fine, but I'm going to get it, you know, call the place and they call the place that supplies it. And, or I guess I called my sleep doctor anyway. And they're like, yeah, okay. And they're looking at, well, let's see, what's your insurance? Okay. And you know, whenever they go, you're just like, no, I'm like, you know. Anyway, so I just listen because I'm like, I've already been to you as a doctor. What, you know?
Yeah.
And they're like, sometimes insurance doesn't cover it unless you have another diagnosis to kind of go along with it. Oh, which you do. Okay. So you're okay. Because I've got some anxiety, you know, stuff still. Yeah. I mean, that's just still on there. So they're like, oh, okay. So you do. So you're okay. And I'm like, so a diagnosis of sleep apnea where you're falling asleep, you know, you're not breathing many times a night. And the doctor literally is like, you need treatment for this, because as we all know, that increases stroke, that increases heart attacks, that increases all the things. This is a health thing. I am certainly not doing it to look pretty. Okay. And they're like, well, we may not cover that. And I'm like,
okay,
so that's number one. I'm like, this is a medical thing that apparently I need, that I really wish I didn't need. So, you know, and it, you know, looks that they're going, but they're like, you have to have another. So if you only have sleep apnea, if you're only not breathing at night, you're fine. We may not pay for that. I'm like, well, that's stupid.
Yeah.
Number two stupid is, and you already know this, I don't have to tell you or anyone else this, and I'm sure it depends on what kind of doc. I understand there's other doctors. I understand that we can probably, maybe, I need to figure it out. But I'm trying to go to one of those medical, you know, clinic hormone places like Florida, yes, like what you're doing. Uh-huh. A similar vibe to that. And again, these are doctors, the where I'm going, you know, these are doctors. They aren't like just, you know, anybody. And so I contacted, you know, did a little research and contacted a place. And then they said, you know, their process of onboarding is you fill this out and then we kind of evaluate a little bit and then we get back to you and see if you're a good candidate and blah, blah, blah. And they did, just got back to me via email. Yes, it looks like you're a good, you know, candidate for this and blah, blah, blah. And here's kind of how it works. But again, it's all, by the way, we don't work with insurance.
Yeah.
Because none of them take insurance. Mm-hmm. Or not none, but I mean, these are met like.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, my insurance won't cover. Yeah, it won't cover.
And I'm like, so let me understand this. There women who need hormone replacement therapy, which is not only about feeling better, which that should be enough right there.
Well, it's heart health.
It's your whole health. Yeah. And let me tell you something else, guys. You know what else goes down in menopausal times? The libido. So if you guys want to still be having fun, you better pay for our hormone replacement therapy.
I think the ones that make decisions, Holly, are probably the same ones who probably move on to a younger model. I don't know that. I'm just saying.
Well, that's just rude. And I'm telling you right now. So again, this is a health thing. And again, someone's probably out there screaming it right now going, you can go to another doctor. You know, that's just those particular clinic. And that very well, could be true. And I need to look at that.
So big pharma rules everything. And what Holly and I are looking at is not synthetic stuff. Because that's been proven to be bad. These are all bioidentical.
But they're known. They're known. These are known therapies. This is not like, you know, as much as I love my essential oils and all my things, you know, this is not just somebody doing a bunch of hoo-hoo and rubbing stuff on you and it doesn't work. There's studies. There's things we know about. We can measure hormones in the body. We understand it now better.
Yeah.
And you're telling me.
You know, I wonder if. I'm going to ask my pharmacist because I used to babysit him. If Viagra is covered by insurance.
Oh, I'm about to look into that. Because if it is, I'm telling you right now, I'm about to go wear a whole different kind of hat and go up to Washington, D.C. and start protesting.
Yeah.
I'm about to do it. Now we got a guy in there, Health and Human Services, and whatever y'all think about it, I'm excited because I think some of that's going to be shaken up a little bit.
Oh, it is so time.
Just
it
in terms
so
of
time.
Like, get help. Let's do it.
Well, for the food company, I mean, let's be honest. We are just trying to get through the day, especially if you have small jail, you're working, you have small kids. You were just trying to get through the grocery store and get these kids to eat or get something to eat. You are hard pressed to find people who have time to sit there and read and even understand what's on the food labels. Or what they do. That's somebody who has to have a lot of time on their hands.
Right. And I just feel like that our Food and Drug Administration, that their top job ought to be keeping things that are known to be toxic and poisonous and cause cancer out of our food. I just feel like that would be a good
thing. And I even think that the weight issues that we see
it totally is.
Today are linked back to that.
Oh, they know it is.
And in high school, Holly, I knew maybe a handful of people, a handful is even pushing it, for people who were truly obese. Now, there were some that were chubby, but not, I didn't even know a handful. Forget a handful. There may have been two people in my graduating class. Most of us were real thin. Some of us had anorexia.
Which I was going to say, which doesn't necessarily mean healthy, because healthy, there's a lot of issues.
Just saying. I mean, I in high school was a size 4 and would not go out for cheerleader because I thought I was too fat.
Right. Welcome to the 80s.
That's the 80s, you know. But I mean, you go back in time. I mean, you look at people were healthier. We looked better. We were in decent shape. And now to see somebody as thin as we were in high school.
Is rare in high school today. And I'm not going to even go on this whole tangent because it's not the time or the place. But yeah, you just take it even back further into the, you know, again, a lot of these ingredients and things were introduced in the 50s and on. 50s and 60s and 70s were when a ton of new ingredients and new additives and new chemicals were introduced, not only to the food, but to the cleaning supplies, to all the modern housewife things, you know, all those commercials in the 50s. Yeah. They're like, look, it's Glimo or whatever. You know, that is when that introduced. So you go back past that and in the 40s and now again, they smoked like chimneys and doctors were like, it's smoking is good for you. You're fine. Yes. You're pregnant. Smoke. So we're not saying like the glory days in that sense of like they knew everything, but the food supply and the things and the way it happened, it was not affecting like it is today.
I read the other day and I want to look into this and figure all this out. But I read the other day that today you would have to eat 50 apples to get the nutritional impact that our grandparents got eating one apple.
Jeez, I hope that's not true, but might be.
I want to look into that.
So it's complex and we all get that. We all know, and we hope that let's all be excited about doing better. But I'll tell you what, my point is, first of all, that, you know, they laid out the hormone at the hormone place, you know, the first two visits would be to do some lab work and then to, you know, do some other assessment, evaluate the needs and all that. And they're like, and just so you know, up front, that's $600. So before I even get going on anything, that's $600 that insurance is not going to pay a dime on, plus whatever the treatments are going to be. Plus the third leg of this stool of my annoyance this week, because that's what everyone wants to hear about.
What?
And I know this is complicated too, but like, you know, insurance doesn't help pay for any of the good. And again, I'm talking about good known supplements that I happen to be taking either. You know, and I do under there is a definite, societal cost different, you know, for what people can afford. If you're not making, you cannot afford to take the omega-3 that you need and the, you know, because it's all like all this stuff, especially even in normal, you know, stages of life and stuff. But as you get into menopause, but even different times of life and different things, you know. Again, these are proven things. You need this. This goes down, you know, and I'm doing this so that I can feel better and be healthier so that then I won't need as much health care. So I'm trying to do the best that I can, not in every way. Goodness knows I need to do some different things. But my point is insurance doesn't help pay for any of that. Nope. That's all out of pocket. So I'm paying all this to try to do the things to stay healthier, be healthier. You know, and I get they can't pay for every, you know, but, you know, there could be like the top 10.
I'm pretty sure that if I quit taking my supplements, I would die.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
I was just dropped in.
she is really addicted to these things. But I'm like, you do stuff to try. Where's the incentive to other than the incentive of feeling good and being healthy and living, you know, well, which is a huge incentive, but you know, where's the incentive to even try to spend your budget and research and do some things and I know there's a variety of supplements and people are like, we're not going to pay for everyone's, you know, red juju mango, whatever they're taking. I understand that, but we could probably come up with like a solid, you know, agreed upon 50. You know what I'm saying? Like, yes, there's ones that everybody knows.
Yeah.
It's not a real controversy.
Vitamin D is one that everyone is low on.
There's no controversy.
When I went and had my blood work, I was like, my vitamin D is going to be good. I'm outside all the time and I
No.
take vitamin D, and my vitamin D was still low. That's crazy.
Yep. So, all that's my gripes for today is that medical insurance and how the way healthcare is set up is stupid. We march at dawn. Anyway.
Well,
Giant blue pill hats are going to be right on my.
so last week I had talked about the king cake as my
Oh,
recipe, and I
yeah.
talked about the colors. Hang on,
The
of
Mardi
Mardi
Gras.
Gras,
Yeah, you
and
did.
that they mean stuff. Hang on,
Okay.
and I have pulled it up, and I'm going to go to it. So your Mardi Gras colors. Mardi Gras starts March the 4th. Well, they party for 2 weeks
Well, right.
leading
It's
up to
kind
it.
of probably already going on, but next week, right?
Right.
Okay.
So, the official Mardi Gras Fat Tuesday. And so if you don't know all this, we'll just kind of recover it again. Fat Tuesday is kind of when you get all your sinning out. I mean, it is the party. It's the feast before the fast. Okay. So it is the Tuesday right before Lent starts on Ash Wednesday. And so they have big celebrations, big floats, beads flying everywhere, a lot of
Lots of things
traditional
happening.
foods, lots of things are happening.
Lots of
And
stuff
I
happening.
went down to Mardi Gras and was scared out of my wits.
Ooh,
I'll just say that.
yeah,
So I'll tell
couldn't.
this story real quick. So my friend, and actually I didn't even go to New Orleans for it. I went down to Passe Christiane. So one of my good friends, her grandparents lived down there. We were on the same hall freshman year at Mississippi State. And we went down. Her grandparents had, several of us down, and they do some of the same things. I mean, it
Yeah,
still
it's Mardi
is
Gras wherever it is. It's
Mardi
Bur I
Gras.
think
If you are on the coast, it's Mardi Gras.
I think Mobile has a big one, or Birmingham, St. Louis used to have a kind of has still a big one.
Oh,
So,
really?
yeah.
Really? See, because being this far north in Tennessee, I'd never heard of all this stuff. I just never,
Oh,
we did
okay.
not, this is small town America. This was not. We didn't talk about parties before the fat. We didn't talk about bead throwing.
Well, you
We
know.
didn't talk about these things. So I was in college before I ever got exposed to some of this stuff.
Oh.
But my favorite, her grandparents were precious and they had this old antebellum house. And Grandmama Blass had the whole family and everybody's friends. And so, and she had the most ginormous turkey that I have ever seen.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And she had cooked a feast. I mean, there was a feast. The whole table was full. She gathered everyone in the living room, dining room's right beside it, in a big old circle to say a blessing. Everybody's in a circle, holding hands, heads bowed, eyes closed, and you hear this little noise, but you don't really pay much attention to it. Well, their Great Dane had just walked up to the table and got that big old turkey. And was munching down on it.
Oh,
I mean, and he didn't have to jump. I
no.
mean, it was
Oh,
huge. It was a Great
no.
Dane. Old Marmaduke there just
He
walked up
was
and got the turkey.
he took the opportunity. He looked
It
around and was like,
was
nobody's gonna
the,
get
oh,
me.
she was so mad. It
I
was
bet
great.
she was. You have a house full of people and
But,
no food.
and no food, no main course right there. I'm not joking. Y'all, it was the biggest turkey I've ever seen in
Jeez.
my life.
Oh, I bet
And
that
it
poor
was
dog got a
cooked to
whooping.
perfection. I mean, it was good. Anyway, it was great.
Oh.
Okay, so here are your colors. Last week, I taught my recipe was the king cake, and I talked
Go
about
back and listen if you missed it. It was a good one.
the traditional colors of Mardi Gras are green, purple, and gold. And so, and I could not remember what they meant. I knew they meant something. So here it is. Purple represents justice, and it's associated with royalty. Green represents faith. And gold represents power, and it is fitting for a king.
Like the king, yeah. Okay.
So,
There you
although it's
go.
a party, this all goes back to religion
As most
and
good
to,
parties do, as
right,
most
as
good
yes,
parties.
yeah, that's when most people talk
Okay.
about God, actually. So that's what it's all about. Your little baby in the king cake represents, Jesus, baby Jesus in that. And anyway, and it all leads up to Lent, and I had never even talked about or even known about giving anything up for Lent or taking up anything for Lent. I mean, I'm just in my little small town world.
Well, it's very Catholic, and it comes out of the Catholic faith. So in St. Louis is very Catholic and very French. St. Louis, it was a French, you know, so, and places like Louisiana, places like that, and then other Protestant denominations have kind of taken that up a little bit. Like we did Lent growing up. We didn't really give stuff up, but we definitely did, like, you know, and even some Protestant churches will do Ash Wednesday and stuff like that now too.
I will tell you, so 1 year I'm in college and I gave up red meat for Lent. And Lent passed, and I'll be honest with you, I really felt a lot better. And I thought, I'm okay not eating. I'm going to just keep not eating it. So I went for a long time that I did not eat red meat. And then a friend of mine asked me, her family lived in Starkville, and she asked me to come to dinner. They invited me over to dinner. And I mean, they weren't poor, but they weren't just wealthy either, you know. And her dad grilled steaks. Well, no way in the world was I
going to say, sorry, I'm not eating red meat right now.
No. So I ate that. So I'm going to tell you what, it was the best steak I've ever had.
I better. Welcome back, Joni.
Welcome back. It was so good. But I'm going to tell you later, I was like an old drunk man around the porcelain throne there. I mean, I was
That'll mess you up if you've been off it for a while.
Oh, I was so sick. And I had my head down on the toilet seat going, God, if you just let me live, I promise I'll never eat red meat again. It was terrible. It was terrible.
Okay, now you saying that brings up something that I've often wondered about, because it has nothing to do with the red meat. It has to do with how you said your head was on the seat of the toilet.
Yeah.
I always have wondered, because every movie you see where someone's sick or drunk or hungover, you know, and they come home and they're being sick in the bathroom and all this stuff, they literally are hugging on the toilet. Like, hope floats.
You don't care.
No. I do not understand that, because I can tell you, it don't matter how sick I am, I have never touched.
You've never held been on.
I have been sick. I've been sick as a kid.
I've never been sick as much as I have then, because that was a night.
I'm not hanging on to the toilet. I'm not doing It's disgusting, people. We're not doing that.
Well, I'm just going to say.
I thought it was fake. I thought when movies do that,
No.
What in the world?
I could not hold my head up. No.
Oh, gosh. Okay. Well, all right.
And my mama wasn't there to hold my hair back.
Oh.
It was awful.
That is a shame.
Let me tell you. Here's another story. We're just going to lead right into it. So the first time when I got sick after we married, y'all, I was spoiled. I mean, if I got a stomach virus, my mother literally was in the bathroom with me, holding my hair back with her hand.
Aww.
My dad was bringing me wet washcloths and, you know, water or whatever. I mean, they were, that's what happened when you got sick.
That's what you were used to. Yes.
So I get married and I get a stomach virus and I am so sick. And Ron, y'all, if he hears anybody vomiting, he's going to vomit.
I forgot that. He's a very sensitive vomiter. He can't take it. Oh my gosh, I forgot.
I'm in there and I'm thinking, why is he not holding my hair back?
Is he not coming in to help me?
No, I was like, Ron, you gotta come and hold my hair back. No. I was like, Ron,
you took vows, sickness and health. This is it.
And I finally said, will you at least give me a wet washcloth?
Aww.
And my bathroom's at the end of this hall, and the door's open, and that man stands at the end of the hall with the wet wash rag and throws it at me.
That ain't right. That ain't right. Nobody likes it. I mean, it ain't like it's a joy.
I was ready to go back to Kansas.
Gosh.
Oz was not what it looked like. I wanted to go back home.
Where is my mom and my daddy?
Wait. I will never forget that just wash rag slinging down the hall at me.
Yeah. Run across the yard and go with your mommy's house. Say bye. He'd be happy with that. That would be like, yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
I know. It's hard. It's hard when you take care of sick people, because I'm a kind of sick person, like I want to be left alone.
Yeah.
Like, leave me alone. But that, you know, not everyone's like that. So you have to know in your marriage too, like what are we doing?
No, Ron's, and I'm not, I'm like, somebody come just rub my hand. just do something, you know. And Ron is like, nope, I'm out.
And maybe that's
I'm gonna go sleep in the guest room.
Right. I'm gonna move out now. Yeah. Maybe that's part of like what I was talking about last week too. It probably is like, you know, how I said I'm not like super nurturing. I mean, I am in some way, but it part of it's that I think because it's like if you're someone who wants to be left alone when they're sick or not feeling good, pretty much. I mean, I appreciate someone checking on me. It's not like I wanna be like, you know, cast out into the, you know, abyss, but I kinda want so I kind of assume maybe people want to be left alone. You know what I mean? Like, and so that's probably where there's a disconnect.
Listen, here, my whole like family that. Leaves me alone. I'm like, you know,
you're like, hello,
is there any soup?
Well, yeah, I would like someone to.
Do we have running water in the house?
Right. Are we okay? Yeah. No, and that is nice to pop a head in or say, can I, you know, bring you a tea or anything, but I don't need people to like be clinging and.
So, okay. Doing. And here's Holly's caretaking. So I fell down the steps.
I was good.
Popped the ligaments on both ankles. Could not walk. I could not. It was awful. I had a boot on one leg and a brace on another. And
that was bad.
It was terrible. Mm-hmm. And Holly comes down so she can take care of me.
Mm-hmm. And like a good friend that I am.
Our beautiful friend Phyllis Garrett sends us this little package of mm-hmm. goodies. And mm-hmm. the judge had thrown in some Lagniappe, just extra stuff. And it was just a little box of. There were the Werther's.
They were mint. No, they were a mint chocolate
I know, but
candy.
The Werther's were in there. And then
I didn't
this
have any Werther's.
Wonderful.
Oh, okay,
I know.
Yeah. Oh,
I know. And there were these wonderful little chocolate mint candies that I was so looking forward
from
to.
From France.
Well, we didn't know they were France until all of a sudden Holly had eaten all of the chocolate mint candies that I did not even get one of. And it was for me. Was injured.
I think that's mostly true. I think that's mostly true.
It's 100%
true. I do seem to remember you dropping some like behind the couch.
No, that was you.
No, that was you.
There were none.
So there was a few left and something happened and they went behind the couch and then that they were gone. But they were really good, you guys.
Out the couch. I have.
Well, your dogs probably
ate
them. I don't know.
No, the dogs didn't eat that. Anyway, later I was complaining to this about Phyllis and she went, what? She ate all of them? Oh, mm-hmm. they were from a little shop in France.
Well, I knew they were from France. It said made in France on the label as I ate them.
This is the kind of caretaking, y'all.
Yep. And I made you laugh and I brought you stuff and I sat with you and watched shows with you and ate candy. Gosh. What do you want? You guys, I'm really good at it.
We watched a lot of Father Brown and Vera. It was Vera.
We did. We watched a lot of British mysteries and murder. It was a pretty good time. But yeah, I knew you needed someone to make you smile. So,
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, mm-hmm. Do you have anything you want to talk about?
No, other than I'm contemplating getting bangs. So everyone just be T's and P's for me on that. My next haircut in a couple weeks. So I got to do something with this head. So
well,
I don't know. We'll
I see. Just thought it would be interesting. I have my little calendar. I've got a little planner and then in the back or, you know, where you can take notes and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I've just been writing down for the month of, well, I did January too, but the month of February, just scriptures and things were things that the Lord has spoken to me through. And I just thought since we're ending out February, that this may be a good thing just to go through. And so one of the things, and some of this backs up to verses, I've kind of got it written everywhere. Let me see if I can find. Okay, so this is John 7:38. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. And so that was just my thing because I get really busy between February and April, like, breathtakingly busy. Like I don't have a moment of peace at all. And so, and I just wrote, let him flow through me with his living water. Don't serve in your power, but in his. And that's something that I really need to do because I can't do it. I get exhausted. I get stretched too thin. And I think that's true for you too, with all of your caretaking that you're going through right now and all of that. We can't do this on our own. And this is something that I just have to every day say, okay, God, I need your living water. I need you to do this. And I need that to flow through me. And so in church, we're also going through Proverbs. And so I bought a Chuck Swindoll book on on Proverbs.
Yeah, you mentioned that. Yeah. Okay.
Go along with that.
Yeah.
And just in Proverbs 4, guard your heart. And I just wrote, guard your heart with all you got. Don't look back. Look straight ahead. And there's so much in Proverbs about guarding your heart and making wise choices and good decisions. And I think, why are we not pounding, that's not the right word, but this is what every teen, we should start preteens with a study on Proverbs.
Oh yeah.
Everything. Yeah. This is just, and I think I look back and I think, gosh, I wish I'd had all of this, because you carry so much baggage with you, when you don't guard your heart, when you don't view it as a treasure that it is.
Proverbs is a good, little mini therapy sessions and counseling advice is what Proverbs is.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. And then, and kind of in line with that too, 1 Timothy 6:20 is guard the good deposit, the deposit entrusted to you. Mm-hmm. And again, I think that's a great graduation as we're coming into, graduation months too, and senior, everybody puts, for I know the plans I have for you, and and those are all good, but guard the deposit. Mm-hmm. Your kids are about to go out into the world, and their Sunday school teachers have, deposited into them. Their families have deposited into them. Mm-hmm. Camp counselors have deposited into them. And now they need to guard that when they're going out. That just needs to guard. Then another study that I was in was just talking about the power of one. And on the good side and the bad side, it takes one word of encouragement to change somebody's life. I mean, you've seen stories where somebody was about to commit suicide and one person came up and in passing and just said, something out of the blue that changed that. And on the bad side too, that one, and I told my kids this when I was working at the health department, and the people that come in with STDs and things are, sometimes you sit beside them in church, and sometimes it's not the skanks. It's, sometimes it's the homecoming queen. Mm-hmm. It's just those things. And I'm like, look, it takes one bad decision. It takes one bad decision of you getting in a car and driving drunk to kill a family. That takes one time. Mm-hmm. It takes one time of going too far to end up with something that may stick with you for the rest of your life and not in a good way.
Yeah, true.
But the power of one, it takes one bite to get you off your diet and lead you on a road to, to poor health and, and to death. So the power of one there. Proverbs still, do not enter the path of the wicked. Don't walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. Don't even put a foot on it. Mm. If there is an evil path, if there is one that you go, this is not real godly, don't go down. Don't put a foot on it. Don't go there.
It makes me think what you're saying with that and with the don't go on that path. And the first one, which was the guarding, it just makes me think,
heart.
Yeah, that what we really need to be praying for our kids is discernment to know what those things are, because don't take that step on that path. Well, would they have to know that path is not good? And so that's a good thing to pray.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think our preacher, when we were talking about these things too, he said, there's so many people who sit on the fence and, you say, and then Satan comes and says, make a choice. That there's God's side. This is my side. Which side are you choosing? And they don't want to give up the world, but they don't want to be separated from God either. And so they sit on the fence with one foot in the world.
You're lukewarm.
And Satan grabs them. They're like, what? Mm-hmm. I didn't make that decision for you. And Satan says, I own the fence. You know, that was a good thing too. But anyway, and then show mercy, show grace, show love, show kindness, show true forgiveness. And then Psalm 139, you know me full well. And I go back, and that just reminds me of when I was in high school, and I wore a lot of masks and hid behind a lot of things that I wasn't, and pretended to be, you know, whatever, this wild, crazy person, kind of pretend. But, you know, well, but I can remember sitting there going, God, I just wish somebody knew me.
Mm-hmm.
Not this Joni or that Joni or this Joni or that. I just wish somebody knew me.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, and that just stood out. You know me full well, Psalm 139. And I've got, you know, I've got some kids right now in high school who were pregnant and have come and talked to me about it. And you know, and I've been able to share, you know, you knit me together in my mother's womb. And just the things. So that's kind of where Psalm 139 came from. But that just really stood out. You know me full well.
Mm-hmm.
You know when I sit, when I rise. Okay, now go, and I will be with your. Oh, this was my favorite one. This is when Moses comes to God, and he's saying, I'm not eloquent in speech. I can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
I can't go talk to all these people.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why this is just standing out to me, but God says to Moses, now go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what to speak. I went, Lord, be with my mouth.
Please be with my mouth. That's a good one.
I don't know
one.
Why. Be with my mouth.
You speak to kids. You are speaking and teaching with your mouth to kids all day.
I know, but there are a lot of things I say that I shouldn't say.
Well,
sometimes my filter doesn't work, you know.
I know it doesn't.
Need the Lord to be with my mouth.
That's right.
So funny. I don't know why I've never noticed that. I mean, I know that, you know, I guess it was just a little more eloquent than that of, you know, God saying, mm-hmm. I'll tell you what to say. Mm-hmm. I'll give you the words.
Well, it was very specific.
I'll be with your mouth.
God is so specific. Like, I'm going to deal with your mouth, right? You're like, oh, okay. Yeah. Not just, I'll just, you know, trust me. Yeah. It was like, no, I'm going to take care of your mouth. I'm going to teach you what to say. That's great.
And here's another one. And I don't even remember where this one came from. And I'm almost at the end here. But you don't have to be enough to be someone Jesus loves. You don't have to be enough. And how many of us, especially as women, feel like we're not enough,
mm-hmm.
that we don't measure up. We don't, you know, and especially even aging, and even I'm not enough.
Mm-hmm.
And if I go back, let me just get real raw here. You know, my life actually started with a warning. My mom, it's kind of for this one of my mother's favorite stories. Nobody's short in my family except for me. And so
your dad was really tall.
Yeah.
Like,
so
I thought,
yeah, my
tall.
Dad was like 6'3".
Yeah. Like
and
tall.
Big, like 300 mm-hmm. some pounds, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He was a big guy. Mm-hmm. He, you know, so, my mom took me to the doctor. I'm a baby, and her friend Jane goes with her. And the doctor looks at my mother and he says, I'm just going to warn you. I'm just going to warn you. She is going to be a very little woman. And then he looked at my mother and he said, her father must be a small man. To which Mom and Jane both got down laughing, you know, and carrying on.
So what are you saying? Don't be starting no rumors.
Right. But I mean, that's, mm-hmm. you know, I'm going mm-hmm. to warn you.
Mm.
So this is a warning that I'm not enough.
Mm.
I'm going to be
that's
a
weird.
Very small
yeah,
person.
No, that's really interesting.
So these, that goes back. And then that took me back to Psalm 139. God knit me together. Mm-hmm. God knew what I was going to be. Mm-hmm. And I'm enough. Mm-hmm. I'm enough for him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I mean, I've got a whole lifetime of all of that.
Yeah.
It doesn't bother me. I mean, it made me strong, you know,
day,
all the,
but it probably did some back in the day for sure. You know, anytime we're different, it's hard, you know,
the times that people, you know, came up to me on the playground singing Short People Got No mm-hmm. Reason to Live. Mm-hmm. I really need to write Randy Newman a thank you letter.
Right. Yeah.
Because early on, that just, you know, nothing really got to me after that. Because it was all the time. I mean, it was all the time.
There you go. But you got some thick skin.
It is a, I mean, there it is. You don't measure up. You know, literally, I don't measure up. But anyway, you don't have to be enough. And I think there's a lot. There's a lot that speaks to a woman's psyche in there. You don't have to be enough to be someone Jesus loves.
Well, yeah, or turn it around a little bit. You are enough.
You are enough. Yeah,
you already are. And whatever else you are or think you need to be, you are enough because he made you and he loves you and he died for you. You're enough.
Yeah.
You love him.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's it. And then my preacher said this yesterday. Do you let the Bible, now I can't read it, overrule? Do you let the Bible overrule your own thinking? Mm-hmm. So, and in that it was, you know, you can sit there and go, I agree. But do you let it overrule your own thinking?
Mm-hmm. Or does it get the deciding vote? That's a good word. Yeah, I think we all do that a lot. I think, yeah, definitely.
And okay, and here's my last thing. And this was actually this morning. It was really good from Luke 6:45. And this is not the quote, but it's based on that. And this is a Chuck Swindoll quote. It says, just as a bucket draws water from a well, so the tongue digs down and draws up whatever fills the heart. If the source is clean, that is what the tongue will communicate. If it's contaminated, the tongue will expose it.
That's truth.
That's a good word right there.
100% true.
So yeah. That's been my February in the life of Joni's spiritual.
Listen, that was good. That was a lot of good nuggets, a lot of good truths. And that's what, you know, when we talk about the word of God being living and, you know, breathing, it's because it continues to breathe life into us. So that's outstanding. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. I really needed that. That was awesome.
Good.
All right. Now you get to do the rest of the show. Are you ready
for your... just the Joni show today.
I love it. I'm all about it. Your recipe. You ready?
I am. So let's just keep with Mardi Gras here. We're going to go with some Cajun pasta. And you need 8 ounces. I'm going to tell you to use whatever pasta you want to.
Yeah.
Whether you use fettuccine or linguine or angel hair or, you know,
some
whatever.
Some kind of long noodles, right? Long noodles.
Right,
okay.
Right. Mm-hmm. All right. 2 boneless, skinless chicken breast. Two teaspoons of olive oil, 2 tablespoons of unsalted butter, 1.5 to 2 tablespoons of Cajun seasoning. And I'm just going to tell you, you can do that as your taste wants.
Yeah, whatever you want.
And you may need more than that. 3 garlic cloves minced, 2/3 cup of diced tomatoes, 1.5 cup of heavy whipping cream, 1/2 cup of grated Parmesan cheese, and 2 tablespoons of parsley. Finely chopped. Yeah. So go ahead, cook your noodles and all of that. You're going to reserve about 1/2 cup of the pasta water. Then go ahead and beat your chicken breast so that they're pretty even and thin. Not real thin, but you don't want some big chunks and some little chunks. And then season them with 1.5 tablespoons of the Cajun seasoning. Then in your skillet, you're going to put in your 2 teaspoons of oil. And then once it's hot, go ahead and add your chicken, sear on both sides, and let it saute there until it's fully cooked. And that would be at 165 degrees. You kind of want your thermometer for that. But 165 is what you cook chicken to. And then go ahead and slice it into strips and just keep it warm. Now, I'm going to add to this for you, and I did not put this on the regular ingredients, but when I make this, I add smoked sausage to mine.
Did you give us this recipe already, Joni?
I don't think so.
Oh, you didn't? This sounds a lot like one that you... maybe my brain
didn't
work.
I went and looked on my docs. I went and looked on my docs and it wasn't there, but it may be.
I swear this is what you, Am I crazy, people? It really is possible that I am. Maybe not.
Maybe.
Maybe
it
not.
May be, because there was one time I remember typing it directly into the website instead of on my docs, and that may have been what it was.
Y'all, I'm looking. I'm looking on our thing. I could be crazy, but unlimited king cake, Krispy Kreme. You gave it, but it's not up on the website. But you did this recipe, but it's not up on the website.
That's why it's not in my docs.
Okay, this is fine. It's fine. Keep.
There was okay.
Yes, I swear, because I'm sitting here going, you said you added the sausage. I'm thinking this is going to be different, but this sounds an awful lot like that recipe that you. It's fine, guys. We can't expect a lot from her.
You're going to do the olive oil.
Keep going. And this time, put it up on the dang website.
And okay. Add your butter and garlic. And you're going to saute that until your garlic is fragrant. It's not going to take you long. And then add your diced tomatoes. Saute another couple minutes. Add in your heavy whipping cream and your remaining Cajun seasoning. To taste, however you want to do that, and Parmesan cheese. To simmer.
She can't get through it, guys. This is great. I'm so glad it wasn't my mistake.
Then add your chicken to the pasta and the sauce and toss until it's combined.
Oh, my gosh.
I thought I had done it, but I looked on my docs, and it wasn't there, and I couldn't find it. So,
I take this back.
Okay, I did a jambalaya pasta.
You did jambalaya fried chicken pasta.
Chicken pasta. Yeah.
Okay, this is different.
Yeah, this is
not
different.
A lot different, but it's different.
It's different.
Okay, I feel
better. I forgot about that. Okay.
Okay,
so that's what it was. I kept going back and looking.
But you didn't put the jambalaya fried chicken pasta on the.
I know that was the week that got.
That's fine. That's why I messed up because there was some chicken jambalaya.
Well, now this week, maybe you'll get two recipes.
I think we will just take whatever you want to give us. That's great. That's great. I apologize for intervening, but I didn't understand what was going on. Okay.
Okay. You ready for my top three?
We are ready for your top three.
Top three.
Okay. Top three. I have found a halter apron that I really like. It is not, it has no belt to tie. It doesn't, you have to fool with that.
Oh, that's nice.
But it's over your head and it's got like, you know, the racing back on the back. It's a halter apron.
Oh, how cool is that?
Yeah. Yeah. Those are really nice. There's some out there that are pretty expensive and they're probably worth it. Uh-huh. The one I bought, cause I just thought I'm going to see this before I do this. It's just from Amazon. And I will tell you, expect some shrinkage because it is linen and cotton.
Okay.
Don't wash it on hot and hang it up to dry. And that was when I was looking at the reviews and stuff. Everybody was like, this shrunk some, you know, but you've got to treat it like
it's linen and cotton. It's going to shrink. Yeah.
It's going to shrink. So hang it up to dry. But other than that, I mean, it was really, really good.
Oh, that sounds cool.
Okay. The other thing I got Caleb and Ron a really cool gift for Christmas. And hopefully John Garrett won't listen to this before his birthday. His birthday is Friday. But I got him a vest for his birthday here. Mm-hmm. But it is a conceal and carry vest and jacket.
Oh, those are nice.
And they are really, really, Veneta, I think is the name of the company that I ordered from. Ron and Caleb both got jackets. John Garrett's got the vest. But it's got, and I know this is not for everybody, but
it's a good gift to give if you've got someone that has their CCW.
Because you've got two sides and it carries your gun on either side and clips, has a thing for clips. Mm-hmm. And then it's not sticking, you know, on your pants. It's not.
And a vest is a nice layer because, it's just a nice layer, like, because you take your coat off. When you go somewhere, I mean, unless you're just going to be outside the whole time or whatever, but you know, you take your coat off in this, so you can kind of have that vest as like a little mid layer. So that's a great gift.
Yeah.
That's a great gift.
Yeah. It was a really good, and this is dadgummit, I've lost my link. It's a serum that, and I'll post a link to it. Mm-hmm. It is, I think it's IS Labs Healing Serum.
Ooh.
And so the girl at Flourish actually recommended, she said, I'm going to give you a sample of this that I want you to try. Now, Holly and I, there are a lot of differences between Holly and I, but Holly has this beautiful, Cherokee complexion, and I have the splotchy Irish,
You are the Irish Hobbit,
and
honey.
the
Be
Irish Hobbit.
proud. Be
So I do
proud.
have all this red, but this serum, if you are like me and you have a lot of a nice Irish heritage, it has really evened out my complexion.
Ooh,
And
you
I've
know I love a
bought,
good skin
well,
serum.
you don't need it. This
I do.
is
I get red all over. I get red stuff all over.
well, this is very expensive. When I looked up the, I went, oh wow, this is really, because I've bought a bunch of stuff for like evening complexion, and I, all of this stuff, and none of it's ever worked, but this has actually worked. And it
Because
is
it's going to have
expensive,
the really good
but
medical grade ingredients in there that they're able to do. And you probably don't need to use very
No,
much. It's
you
going to
don't
last you
use very, no,
forever.
a few dots covers my whole face. So
Exactly.
it has been, I
Ooh.
mean, I will tell you, I've used a lot of this stuff, a lot of these claims, and I've never had one that I've gone that I could see a difference. And so instead of nickel and diming myself to
Yep.
death,
You've probably spent twice that
I
much.
have probably spent twice that much. So, but yeah, if you have uneven complexion, this I am highly recommending from good
Excellent.
stuff.
Oh,
So.
that's great. I love hearing about stuff that people have used that really works because, I will pay for it if it's really good like that. So it was, that is worth it. In a lot of ways, you get what you pay for with skincare. Not always.
That's right.
Not always, but
Well, I have such sensitive skin too.
yes,
I mean, I
yes.
really do. So,
Yeah.
anyway.
Awesome. Well, those are very good top three. Thanks for sharing.
You're
I
welcome.
just loved it. I just loved it. Thanks, guys, for being a part of this. I mean, Joni's sharing all these beautiful verses and spiritual lessons, and I'm just griping about, my hormone therapy not being paid for by insurance. So,
Well, I'm a little bitter about that
I
too.
know. We won't, yeah, but
But
I'm glad you got us off on a good note of refocusing on what's really, really important.
I
So
tell you what, though, I will say this. You may pay for that pellet, but Tim Royals will not complain about the cost.
okay.
I'm going on
Anyway,
record saying that.
okay, I'm going to get us out of here quickly. Thank you so much for that. I appreciate it. We will talk to you guys next week. It'll be March. It'll be great. Everything, the whole world will be different by then. So
The Ides of March.
until the Ides of March. Until then, goodbye, cornbread.
See, corn dip. We good?
We're good. My gosh, I've got this turned up really loud. Maybe I should. What the heck have I done here? Okay, say some. Golly, why are you so loud? Oh, wait, here
Well,
we go. Here we go.
how
Here.
many reasons would you
I
like?
got it. No, I figured it out. I'm on my
Okay.
other mic again, so I had to relearn how to use it.
Okay.